Track 6. Why helping wildlife habitats helps us. Norfolk Wildlife Ambassador Nick Aitchison on our place in the world and how restoring the landscape benefits us.
There's a roar in the reed not far from me, ancient as the ground itself. It is the mating cry of Britain's largest land mammal, a red deer stag. Who knows how many years his ancestors have bellowed from the reed here, how many gangly fawns they've sired as a result. I can only know his urgent clamour now, demanding a future for his genes. The reed is gossiping today, telling tales of spring and summer to the cooling autumn wind. All through the long warm days, the reed has hidden warbler nests. Sedge warblers made their nests in scrubby vegetation, such as brambles, at the reed bed's edge. Reed warblers built theirs higher, hitched between stems of reed, often above water. By the cool, wild days of late October, these adult warblers and their surviving young have crossed the Mediterranean and Sahara. They will winter among pelicans and hippos, fish eagles shrieking in their ears, until the longer days of northern spring call them back to us, to chirr and chunter in our Norfolk reed. Some birds stay here for the winter, though. Above the stag's roar, closer by, I can hear the mewling of a water rail. Water rails are beautiful. Slighter than their moorhen cousins, their graphite grey below, their slaty flanks barred vertically in white, their backs a warm clay brown and dappled heavily in black. Their slender, slightly down-curved bills are red below, the lustrous red of fresh arterial blood, and smudged with black above. Beneath its tail, a rail has neat white streaks to flash in reedbed semaphore. I cannot hear them, but I know that bitterns hunker in this reedbed too. They breed here, at NWT Hickling Broad Nature Reserve. In spring, the sonorous booming of the males is heard. In summer, the adults' heavy, owlish wings are seen above the reed as they flap to feed their chicks. Now in autumn, they are secretive, slipping silently through reedbed channels where they hunt for frogs and fish. As cold drives bitterns off the continent in winter, their Norfolk numbers swell. If ditches freeze, perhaps we may see bitterns feeding in the open. For now, it is enough to know that they are here. Their habitat is here. Habitat is a word we bandy lightly, rarely thinking what it means. Broadly speaking, habitat is the natural environment inhabited by a plant, an animal, or another organism. It is the set of conditions necessary for an organism to thrive and pass its genes to future members of its species, or indeed, descendant species. It is an organism's home. Why does it matter that we understand what habitat really means? The reasons, I think, are threefold. The first is that only if we fully understand the requirements of an endangered or declining organism can we replicate them, giving the species a foothold in the landscape. At Wheating, on our arable plant reserve, we cultivate a historic variety of rye organically, not for the value of the rye, but to offer habitat to the gravely threatened cornfield annuals which grow among it. Without this management, the provision of the very specific habitat, some of these plants would altogether disappear from the UK. Next door at Wheating Heath, we micromanage patches of bare ground, both as nest sites for rare stone curlews and as habitat for some of Breckland's most vulnerable invertebrates. Here in the Broadland reed bed I am visiting today, we manipulate conditions to favour breeding bitterns, harvesting reed to keep the reed bed young, maintaining open channels where birds can fish, raising water levels when needed. Elsewhere in Norfolk, in the valley of the River Wissey, we have made new reed beds, especially for bitterns, marsh harriers, bearded tits, and other wetland birds, sculpting the exact conditions they require, their habitat, from the landscape. All this, though, is an admission that we, as a society, have failed. So completely have we banished wildlife from the countryside that we have to garden little corners to prevent rare species vanishing. How much more urgent, then, my second reason for understanding what habitat really means, the realization that the whole landscape, everywhere we look, should be and could be habitat for wildlife. Clearly, not every species would flourish everywhere. Differences of soil, water, temperature, and salinity are fundamental aspects of a species' habitat. But with the right political will, the whole landscape can be hospitable to wildlife once again. Common species abundant everywhere, and rare ones spreading from their closely managed ghettos. There are elderly people alive today who remember organic hay meadows everywhere in Norfolk, humming with insects in summer. They remember thick old hedges crisscrossing farms, loud with the spring songs of corn buntings and nightingales, even red-backed shrikes. They remember what we conservationists call bioabundance, a riot of living things in every square inch of the county. This is the second reason it is crucial that we understand what habitat means, because the whole landscape can again be vibrant habitat for wildlife in the future. My third reason for knowing what habitat means is at once both simple and profound. Some species, such as reed-bed bitterns or fingered speedwell in a Breckland rye field, have very precise requirements. They flicker from the landscape if their needs aren't met. Others, like the blackbirds, wrens, and dunnocks nesting in our parks and gardens, are fairly generalist, thriving anywhere there's water, food, and vegetation. The arch generalist, more adaptable than any other species, is Homo sapiens. The wise man, as our scientific name would have it, wise enough to destroy the very habitats, the soils and water, the kindly temperatures and the biodiversity, on which our own survival ultimately depends. This is the final, and the most important, reason for us to understand what habitat is. We ourselves are animals. Restoring habitat for wildlife right across the landscape means restoring habitat for ourselves. And at Norfolk Wildlife Trust, it is our firm ambition.